We want to read a few verses here in the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians. Starting in verse 10, the Apostle Paul speaking says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care for me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And we'll stop our reading there. Our main thought is going to be centered around verse 13, the last one that we read. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." I believe we live in a day in which we need encouragement in the things of God. And I hope and pray that this message tonight will be an encouragement to each and every one of us. What is the standard which God has laid before us that we ought to strive for? It's perfection.
Amen.
Perfection. In fact, you even find in the Word of God that God commands us. If you look back in the book of Matthew, the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, in that last verse of that chapter, it says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as I, or your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." There's the standard which God has laid down for all of us. Perfection. And I believe with all my heart that those of us that are preachers, we need to be preaching perfection. We don't need to be making any license or any room for sin whatsoever in the lives, not only our life, but in the lives of those that we preach to.
Amen.
And I think that any preacher that preaches less than perfection and demands perfection is falling short of what God would have him to preach.
Amen.
I also believe that any believer who does not strive for perfection is falling short of what he ought to be engaged in because he is a child of God.
Amen.
Even the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians, he laid the mark for us. He said, "I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus."
Right.
And what is that mark? It's perfection, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's perfection. He wanted to be perfect. And I believe within every child of God's heart, every one of us want perfection. We don't want sin in our life. We want to be able to fulfill completely, even as Jesus Christ himself did, the full will of God for our lives in everything that he said. I believe that God demands perfection because he has provided a way that we can seek perfection and even attain unto it if God's grace is ensued and used in our lives. Just think for a moment. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed to do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that we might be righteous. And that is perfection, isn't it? We find also that the infallible Word of God, why did God give us His Word? Well, the Bible says that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. We find also he's given us pastors. Pastors to teach and pastors to instruct and to lay the example down. And that is for what? For the perfecting of the saints. That we might all come what? To the fullness of the stature of Jesus Christ. That we might even be as he was and is. We find that he's also sealed us with his Holy Spirit of promise to give us the power and the ability to overcome that sinful nature that's within us. We find also that we have the access under the very throne of grace to seek that help in the time of need that we stand in need of in order to be perfect. We find also that he's given us the hope and shed the love of God in our hearts, not only to encourage us, but to motivate us to that very end also in our lives. So we find that God has provided everything that we stand in need of in order that we might strive for and obtain perfection in our life. And I'm not preaching sinless perfection. Let me put it that way. Because as long as we've got this old man to contend with, whatever we do is still going to find itself tainted with sin because he's still here. He's still within us. But what I'm trying to say is this: we need to strive for perfection.
Amen.
And God has provided everything that is needed in order that we might attain unto that. We might fully mortify that old man and put him down, and that we might fully put on Christ and glorify him in our bodies, which are his. If we do come short, is it God's fault? No, it's our fault, isn't it? If we come short, we find that there's something that should be in the vocabulary or should never be in the vocabulary of a child of God. And it's two words. Cannot.
Amen.
Cannot. Paul said in that portion of Scripture, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We ought never to have in our vocabulary, when it comes to anything in the service of God, anything that God has commanded us to do, I cannot. Cannot. And so what we want to do tonight is to challenge you from the things that we find in the Word of God concerning, is it cannot in my life or will not? Is it cannot or will not? We find that the source of cannot is really the old man. The old nature, the old sinful, corrupt nature within us. Because of that nature, we find that there is enmity within the carnal mind that he will not submit himself unto the law of God or the will of God. That old man never changes in the new birth. He's still the same old man. He's still, I cannot, or I will not. And we find that the portion of Scripture that we want to look at, of course, is here in the Word of God. Look in the book of Romans in the 8th chapter, and verse 7 of that portion of Scripture says this. He says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The old man will never submit itself unto the law of God, because it's at enmity with God. And that because of sin itself. We talk about people being spiritually dead. And truly a man who without Jesus Christ is spiritually dead. But that does not mean that the old man does not have any spiritual ability at all. He's still got a spirit, hasn't he? He does still operate that spirit in a fleshly way, does he not? It's still there, isn't it? The old man, it's not so much a question of whether or not he has the faculty. It's a question of whether or not the corrupt nature within that faculty will allow him or will enable him to submit himself unto the will of God. He will not. He will not do it. Because that old carnal nature that he has within himself. And we find, of course, that this is the very source, then, of I can't or cannot. Whenever God commands anything of us, we say, well, I can't do that. That's not the new man speaking. That's the old man. That's the old carnal nature within each and every one of us. The spiritual man being dead, that means separated from God without any desire for God whatsoever. He will not use that faculty which he has in order to glorify God. He'll use it in every other way. That spiritual man, or that dead man spiritually, he can exercise a faith. Sure he can. He can believe and trust in somebody, but he won't trust in God. Does not that old nature Does he not also love? Sure, he loves his wife and his children. He loves money, he loves prestige, he loves the pleasures of this world, but he will not love God. It reminds me of the time when we find that Joseph, he was well beloved of Jacob, and we find that his brothers were very jealous of him because of it. And it says back in the book of Genesis, the 37th chapter, it talks about here how Jacob loved Joseph and how he made him a coat of many colors. And we find that they became very jealous of him. And I want you to notice what it says here in the 37th chapter of the book of Genesis. It says there in verse 3, it says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that his father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." Now, could they use their voice? Yes. But because they hated Joseph, they could not speak peaceably unto him. You see, we're talking about that old carnal nature hates God. And because it hates God, it will not submit itself unto God. It's contrary to God. It will not use the faculty that the spiritual enmity of that person has in order to glorify God or even to seek after God. It's not so much a matter of the fact that that man does not have any abilities. It's a matter of fact that he's so obstinate in his contrariness to God. He will not do it. And that's what Jesus Christ is made mention of so many times in the Word of God. He says there, "You will not come to me that you might have life." You will not. That old carnal nature dictated to him that he won't approach unto Jesus Christ. He will not come unto him. We find that their allegiance was to others instead of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ stood there before the mob there in Pilate's judgment hall, he says, "What shall I do with your king, which is Christ?" And they say, "Crucify him." In essence, they said, just as he did in the parable, "We'll not have this man rule over us. We'll not have him." And so we must come to the understanding that whenever we say "cannot," it's the old man. It's the old man that's within us. And that old man, we find, cannot because of his unbelief. His unbelief. Look in the book of Mark for a moment in the 9th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. And you'll find there in verse 23 of that chapter, Jesus Christ makes this statement. He said this, "Jesus said unto them, If thou canst believe, all things are possible unto him that believeth." Their unbelief was their problem, wasn't it? Their unbelief was their problem. And that is the basic sin of every man. Unbelief. We find that that's the sin that does so easily beset us. That is talked about there in the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Let us lay aside that sin that does so easily beset us. What's that sin that does so easily beset us? I know a lot of people say, "Well, I've got a besetting sin." And you've got a besetting sin too. And they talk about it as being, you know, some particular thing about your nature that draws you into such and such a temptation or sin. Well, in some sense, that might be right. But I think the besetting sin of every one of us is a sin of unbelief. Yeah. Our sin of unbelief. And so many times that manifests itself in our life, and we come to the place to say, "I cannot. I cannot." But it's nothing but unbelief of the old man. I cannot. For a child of God, my friend, that is wrong. We ought to say, "I will. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me." It's not that I cannot, it's that I will not. I will not. Think about that every time that we find that the Lord tells us to do something and we balk against it. Say, well, I can't do that. You know, sometimes there is a false humility which the old man will manifest. And sometimes we do manifest also in our lives. We look at ourselves and say, well, I'm so poor and I'm so, I have no abilities to do anything. I just can't do that. Look back in the Old Testament for a minute. Moses came to that point one time, I think, in his experience. There in the backside of the wilderness when he was herding the sheep, he came across a curious sight. He saw a bush that was burning, and it wasn't consumed. I can just imagine what kind of effect that had on him. I had never seen anything like that before. Everything he knew concerning natural laws of nature, if something caught on fire, it'd be consumed. It'd burn up. But it didn't, did it? And we find, of course, he approached unto it, and it was God. And the Bible says, out of that burning bush, God spoke to him. He says, take off your shoes. He says, you're standing on holy ground. And the Lord commissioned him that day to go and to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. He commissioned him to go and stand before Pharaoh and to command Pharaoh to let my children go. And we find that Moses reared up an objection, didn't he? He says, I can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look there in the fourth chapter of the book of Exodus. And there in verse 10 it says, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, he says, I'm not eloquent, neither hither or heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. There's a show of humility. He understood. I mean, he was just a human being. And I would assume that any one of us, that if we stood before God in that day too, we'd probably said, well, I'm of a stammering tongue. I can't speak. I can't stand before Pharaoh and command him to let the children of Israel go. I just can't do it. I just don't have the ability to do it. But notice what God said in verse 11. It says, and the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth?
Yeah.
Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Well, that should have been the end of the matter. God said, he'll supply. He'll make me able.
Amen.
Therefore I can.
Amen.
Wasn't the end of it, though, was it? No, notice the next verse. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt. Anybody but me, Lord. And then notice verse 14. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. God had already made provision for Moses' humility, so to speak. But God was mad at him, wasn't he? He said, I made your mouth. I'll be with your mouth. I'll give you the words to speak. I'll enable you to do it. And Moses still said, I can't do it. I cannot do it. I sometimes think that's the way the Lord kind of gets angry with us some days too, doesn't he? He tells us what he would have us to do, and yet we say, Lord, I can't do that. I can't do that. But that's the old man speaking. Remember that. That's the old man speaking. That's not the new man speaking. The new man speaks just as Paul did here in this portion of Scripture which we read. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do it. You're my God. You've enabled me. You've given me all the provisions which I stand in need of in order to successfully obey your word. And I have no excuse for not doing it. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Let's first of all look at that text scripture. He says, I can do all things. Now we understand and realize that that all things there is a qualified all things. That's the all things that God has commanded us.
Amen.
All things that God has commanded us. I can do all those things. And there is the very words of faith and confidence in God, isn't it? Because it says in this portion of Scripture, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. We find here the speech is that of relying upon the new man and upon Jesus Christ and what God has worked within our hearts and within our souls to accomplish that which God would have us to do. And remember this, with every commandment that God ever gives, God always supplies the means to fulfill it.
Amen.
Remember that. God will never call you to do something that He will not enable you to perform it. And when we say, Lord, I can't do that, it is truly then unbelief, isn't it? We just don't believe God's able. But He is. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And that means everything. Everything that He commands of us. Everything that we find in the Word of God, which is according to the law of God and the commandments of the Lord. Every one of those commandments, we have no license to say, I cannot.
Amen.
I can. I can. But it's not in the energy of the flesh.
Right.
It's through the strength which I have in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And in Him alone.
Amen.
We find also, if you look in the book of 2 Corinthians, this message is going to be short tonight. I'm going to surprise a lot of you people. Because my point is very simple. I'm not going to elaborate upon it that much. It's very simple. In fact, you've already got the point. I just want to encourage you in the point. My wife came out and said, some of the ladies back there in the kitchen were talking about old me. Brother Hamill's got last place tonight. And then my wife says, you keep it short. So I guess I'll keep it short. Well, no, I've learned. I'll preach until I'm finished. And then when I'm finished, I'm finished. And this might be one of those miracle nights. We have a brother in our church. Well, yeah, I'll tell it. I got time. He went to conference in Michigan, and Brother Titus was then, and he had three preach in the morning, and he gave him a half hour to preach, and I was one of them. And he kept kidding me. He says, I'm going to go up there just to see a miracle. Well, Lord give me grace. I did finish in 30 minutes, but I didn't say everything I wanted to say, but I finished in 30 minutes. And so this is one of those miracle nights probably. But anyway, look at here in the book of 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Let this truth here really sink into our hearts. The 9th chapter and verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you,
amen,
that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work.
Amen.
That takes away all of our excuses, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Sure it does. He's able to make all grace abound. He says, who? To you. I don't care who you are. If you're a child of God, if you're saved by His grace, I don't care whether or not you're just young in the Lord or old in the Lord. I don't care whether or not you're an individual who is schooled or unschooled. God said, you. Me? Yes, you. That he's able to make all grace abound unto you. Unto you. Unto me? I'm a nobody. You're a child of God. That's somebody.
Amen.
You're a servant of Jesus Christ. That's one of the highest callings that you could ever get. And God says, I've got all you stand in need of. And so don't look at your inabilities. Don't look at your maybe lack of knowledge or understanding. And he's not going to call you to do something that he does not enable you to do, either by knowledge or anything else. He's not going to call you to preach if you don't even know the Word of God.
Amen, bro.
He's not going to. He's going to grant unto you the commandment or the very thing that you stand in need of in that time. Yes, you will grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. And as you grow more in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, he might call upon you to do more. But I don't care who you are tonight. Whatever God wants you to do, his grace is sufficient. Notice also, he says in this same portion of Scripture, he says that he's able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency, always. That brings me forward this thought that no matter what the circumstance of my life is, I don't care whether or not I'm on the mountaintop or down in the valley of despair. Doesn't matter where you are, always. No matter what situation or circumstance you find yourself in. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. You can do it there. One of the brethren said, I don't understand why people who get in a state of despair go away from the only help they have.
Amen.
And that is true.
Amen.
Because God in the valley of despair is the only hope you have. His grace is the only grace that can give you strength to continue serving him and doing those things which are pleasing to him and stay away from that which is not pleasing to him. No matter what your situation is, no matter what your circumstance of life is, he says it's all sufficient. All sufficient in all things. In all things, no area where you will be lacking any sufficiency in anything that God has commanded of you. And he says that you may abound unto every good work. Every good work. I've heard some people say, well, you know, I can't tithe. I can't tithe. No, it's not that you can't tithe, you won't tithe. You will not. Tithe.
Amen.
Some people say, well, I can't give an offering over and above my tithe. My finances are so tight that I can't give anything above my tithe. It's not that you can't, it's you won't.
Amen.
You will not. We find also talking about, well, you know, I can't read my Bible day by day. I'm just so busy. No, it's not because you can't, you will not. I can't love my brethren like the Bible tells me I ought to. You can. It's just that you will not. I can't love that one that doesn't like me. I can't love my enemies. It's not that you can't. It's that you will not. You see what I'm getting at? Everything that we make excuse for why we cannot do it, God's not pleased with because he says, I've made every provision so you can do it.
Amen.
I've made every provision that you can do it.
Amen.
It's just that you will not.
Amen.
You will not.
Right.
So what we need to do is stop copying out on God, don't we?
Amen.
Stop making excuses. Stop making excuses. Because there's no excuse. And I've learned that, you know what an excuse is? It's the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. Looks good on the outside, but it holds nothing inside. It's all a lie. And that's what it is. But we excuse ourselves so many times, don't we? But really what we're doing is lying. It's not that I cannot, it's just that I will not. I will not. Look at another portion of Scripture. Look in the book of Ephesians. There's another place, look in the third chapter. The Bible tells us in the book of James, we have not because we ask not. We have not because we ask not. And that's where a lot of our problem is too. We just don't go to the Lord and ask Him for the grace to do it. We have access. Anytime we want to go to the Lord, anytime we need wisdom, anytime we need guidance, anytime we need strength, He says, come on unto me. He says, I am able to make all grace abound unto you, that you having sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. He says, I'm able. It's there. And so we need to ask. But notice here in this portion of Scripture in the book of Ephesians, the third chapter and verse 20. Listen to what it says here. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly above, abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. He is able to do over and above what we ask or think of Him. He's able to give you that grace. Oh, I don't see how God could ever give sufficient grace to overcome this obstacle that I'm facing. Well, the Bible says He's able to do exceedingly abundantly over and above what you ask or think. There's not a one of us that have over imagined God's ability.
Amen.
Is that not right?
Yes.
Your wildest imagination, God's able to do over and above it.
Amen.
That's the kind of God we have.
Amen.
And so He says that He's there, what? He's able to. So if we go to the throne of grace and ask for the grace to overcome and to fulfill the will of God, it's there then, isn't it? It's there. He's not reluctant to give it to us. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. You know, we have to get a new mindset. A new mindset. Instead of getting to that place where we say, well, I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't do something else, we need to start thinking about, I can because my God is able.
Amen.
I can. If God wants me to tithe, I can tithe. I'll step out by faith and do it, and I will prove my God.
Amen.
That He is able to supply my needs.
Amen.
I will pray for that one that despitefully uses me.
Amen.
And I will heap coals of fire upon his head and see whether or not God will turn his heart.
Amen.
I can do that.
Amen.
The Lord's called me to preach. I fought it a long time. I looked at my own inabilities like Moses did. But finally the Lord overcame that too in my heart.
Amen.
And I come to the place and say, well, if the Lord wants me to preach, He'll enable me.
Yeah.
So I surrendered to preach. If the Lord's talking to maybe some young man here, or maybe some older man, desire to proclaim the Word of God, but you're afraid. You know what the Bible says? When I'm afraid, I'll trust in the Lord. Just turn over to the Lord and trust in Him. He'll make you able. There is nothing that God has not commanded us to do that we cannot do it. And He demands perfection from us. And if He demands perfection from us, then we need to strive for that perfection. And ask God for strength and grace to overcome the old man and to the old sinful nature and this old sinful world itself, and to live above this world and to live in the new man that He's created within us. We can do all things. We need to get a new mindset and stop making excuses for the old man. Because the old man will never do us any good. I hope and pray in my own life, because I tell you what, I have to pray, Lord, forgive me of my unbelief. I have to be like that man that said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Because that's what always stands in my way of doing what God has commanded me to do, is my unbelief.
Amen.
When I get to thinking I cannot, then I ought to be rebuked. And God ought to say, just as he did to Moses, who made your mouth? Who made you? I'm the God who made you. I make the blind and the lame, and I can enable. So I pray that God would give us grace in these latter days. We're not living in days that are, you might say, encouraging. These aren't encouraging days. But we are a people that's made for this time. We wouldn't have been born in this time if God hadn't prepared us for it. It's discouraging. I know it is. Sometimes we do get a little bit cast down, a little bit despondent. Sometimes we just kind of want to throw in the towel and say, what's the use? And then we're reminded. We can't do that. We just can't do that. Because God has had so much grace and mercy upon us. He's got too much involved with us. The precious blood of Jesus Christ has bought us. We're not our own. We're his. And God is able. He's still in control of everything. He's still got everything under his control. And we just need to keep trusting him.
Amen.
And stop saying, I can't.
Yes.
And start saying, I can.
Amen.
Stop letting the old man have his way in our life.
Yes.
Lord bless.
Amen. Amen. Amen.